Radio.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we're dissecting what happened on last week's episode with Geneva Hagen and with Richard Toronto, who lives in California. That's kind of interesting considering his name. I always thought of him as being Canadian. Really? I mean, that's a stupid conclusion to reach. But that was about it. I've obviously known him for a few years. But it's interesting to hear about Ray Palmer and the fact that he is probably one of the unsung heroes, not just in the UFO field, because he kept the subject alive with Fate magazine, his own publication, but also in science fiction, where he took amazing stories and totally changed the way they approach science fiction. So instead of being just something that was the province of a small number of fans, it became a mass market product. And you think the kind of science fiction that he promoted, as I said last week, came to be in movies such as Forbidden Planet in the 50s, Star Trek in the 60s, Star Wars in the 70s. But in the science fiction field, Ray Palmer is a pariah. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, it is sad. I think you're right. He is an unsung hero to some. And he's also, I think we can vilify him a little bit for creating that downward momentum of the snowball going down the hill in terms of how people perceive what were then called flying saucers and how that pop culture sort of veneer has slowly been building on the snowball as it goes down the hill. So in one sense, Ray Palmer kind of set the whole misperceptions of the phenomenon in the public's eye. I think he set that momentum going. And in one sense, yeah, he popularized the whole connection between flying saucers and underground, you know, dwellers and that sort of thing. But he propagated these memes that were still fighting today.
Well, certainly he did, however, voice a lot of interesting things about the UFO field, if you read what he said. And one of which, of course, is the so-called fact, this piece of information where he looks into certain things about a UFO case or any paranormal event, and if that thing is verified, the case must be true. But I think a lot of what he said about the fact was nonsense. I think he was playing games with people.
Yeah, and we see that today with the twins that shall not be mentioned and others who mix fact with fiction and give equal weight to hoaxes and possibly true events and true visual evidence alike. So I think that this is really a major problem, trying to scientifically study these phenomena. And we're constantly battling this misperception in the public, this pop culture sort of front-loading, if you will, that all started back with Ray Palmer.
And, you know, you have to think about the people who follow Palmer. Like, one of the columnists in his magazine had a column called Chasing the Flying Saucers. It was Gray Barker. So Gray Barker got some of his start in Ray Palmer's Flying Saucers magazine. Of course, Gray Barker had some great stuff that he reported on. He did a really good account of the Flatwoods Monster, for example, but he and Jim Moseley made up more than their share of hoaxes. Also, Tim Beckley took over that column when Gray Barker gave it up. So you have to think how many people got started in the UFO field, good or bad, because of Ray Palmer and his presence.
I rest my case.
Right. And so a few of us had the fun of meeting him. He was fun. I wish we could have spent hours talking with him because he was an original. He was a character. So was Richard Shaver. And as I said, Geneva and I figured out how to look at his rock books and see something there. Now, maybe it was our state of mind. You know, a couple of young whippersnappers in our 20s. Maybe today, if we separately looked at those pictures, we wouldn't see anything. Something else mentioned on the show I thought that was worth attention, and that is the way that the human mind picks up and stores symbols. So if we don't have a frame of reference for something, we see something out there that doesn't fit with our knowledge or experience, there's no frame of reference, we attempt to interpret that in accordance with what we understand.
Yeah.
And I wonder to what extent that influences the UFO mystery. To what extent do we look at things so alien to us that we have no frame of reference, we can't understand it, so we make it into something that conforms to our culture, like spaceships, like gods from heaven, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
And it also brings to mind the book Contact and the movie, the sequence where Jodie Foster meets E.T. And E.T. says to her he's appearing in the form of her late father because she couldn't accept his true appearance. She couldn't accept it.
Well, you know, again, that illustrates my point. I think the human mind, when faced with the inexplicable, as you said, tends to revert back to familiar frames of reference. A good example of that would be when the first conquistadores stood on the rim of Grand Canyon. Their brains were so unable to visually, you know, process the visual information that they thought the canyon was only a mile across and that the river was only 30 feet wide. They literally could not grasp the vastness of what their eyes beheld. And I think the same holds true in the paranormal field. I think people tend to revert to primal symbols. They tend to revert to familiar frames of references. And that totally slews or slants their perceptions. And, you know, when you talk about Ray Palmer and you talk about some of the early science fiction writers, they really set in motion and set in place some very, very strong symbols and images in our minds that still reverberate today.
And we keep repeating the same old mistakes. I kind of rave about this in our weekly PowerCast newsletter. And I never mention the newsletter. It's free, so I'll mention it. We're not making any money off it. You go to newsletter.thepowercast.com, newsletter.thepowercast.com. You'll be able to subscribe to the newsletter. You'll see some past issues, get an idea of what it's all about. And basically what it is 900 or 1,000 words of editorial. I write it. Chris has written for it. We even had a Stanton Friedman contribution way back when. And the rest just a schedule about upcoming episodes of the PowerCast. Nothing special there. We're not selling very much. And I was pointing out here is that we continue to make the same mistake in the UFO field. We continue to look at the subject in the way it was observed back in 1950 by Major Donald Kehoe. Okay, E.T. is here. The government knows the truth. Let's have congressional hearings. Okay?
Where'd that take
us? Sure, how's that grab you? Where'd that take us? It took us nowhere. We haven't picked up or learned much of anything. And maybe one of the things we do here in the PowerCast is to change the discussion, which is why we bring up stories about people like Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver. It's good to know where we came from to see how we can do better. Now, we've been mentioning a lot of the classic cases in the UFO field. There's always something about Roswell. Another really unusual case is the Cash Landrum incident, which goes back to 1980. And maybe one or more of the witnesses suffered from radiation burns. It's a really fascinating case. There are possibilities there as to what the strange object or spaceship or whatever it was might have been. But we have two guests this week who've done a lot of research into it. One is Kurt Collins. Now, Kurt Collins is familiar to the people in the PowerCast forums because he's known as Sentry. And quite often, Sentry posts very intriguing questions that we ask on the show. And the other is Chris Lambright, who very recently had written a book with our friend Ray Stanford. And Chris and Ray were on the show a few months back. If you want to get in touch with us, send us a tweet. You can reach us on Twitter as The PowerCast. Once again, we are The PowerCast on Twitter. So we have Chris Lambright, Kurt Collins, joining Gene and Chris. And once again, you're in
The PowerCast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a six-month supply and get three Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cookpot. All in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with nature's natural antiparasitic, antiviral, antifungal, antibiotic, Allicin, the heart of garlic. Get concentrated protection with Ali-C and Ali-Ban from Affinity Health Products. One capsule of Ali-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills with no garlic breath. Ali-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to ali-c.com, spelled ali-c.com, or call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. That's 855-255-4246. Protect yourself with Ali-C and Ali-Ban from Affinity Health Products at ali-c.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
As I mentioned in the previous segment of the Paracast, we've covered a lot of the classic cases. But sometimes you think maybe we're spending too much time on, like, Roswell, for example. Well, there's another case which is called by some a close encounter of the second kind because it caused physical effects. It's the Cash Landrum incident from 1980. And the reason I thought about setting up this episode is because there's been a very active discussion area or thread on the Paracast forums at forum.theparacast.com, where people have been talking about Cash Landrum. So now we talk about an old dear friend of mine who passed on last year, Jim Moseley. In the final years of his Saucer Smear publication, he was busy reporting about cases that aren't getting a lot of attention, like the Cash Landrum case in 1980. And one of the people that he dealt with in putting information together was one of our guests today, Kurt Collins. You know him on the forums as Sentry. Our other guest, of course, is Chris Lambright, who's also done extensive research into Cash Landrum. Kurt, welcome to the Paracast. So did you ever expect, being a forum poster, that we'd actually ask you to be on the line and on the show?
No, quite a surprise. And it's an honor, and I'll try not to trip over my tongue too much.
Well, only Chris and I do that.
Okay. Well, Gene, you're the polished professional.
Listen, even the polished professionals make mistakes. Walter Cronkite made mistakes, and that's the way it was, you know, 400 years ago. Kurt, you helped Jim Moseley research information about Cash Landrum. How'd you get involved with that?
Well, it stemmed out of a friendship. I was a Saucer Smear reader and was pestering him all the time with questions, writing letters, and I offered, knowing that he didn't have access to a computer, to research some different things for him. And the first thing he asked me about in depth was the Cash Landrum case. He was trying to get a hold of a lead. Tom Adams was a researcher that had mentioned he had found an anonymous, it was anonymous witness reporting testimony of anonymous witness. So it was very tough to track down information on that. But that's where it all started. And after being exposed to the history of the case, I just really became fascinated, or fair to say obsessed with it, and have been following it ever since. And it's been 2.5 years now.
Obsessed in what way?
There are a lot of elements to this case. It is the event itself is fascinating. The investigation of the case is very interesting. And this is one of the few cases ever to get a little ahead of the story that there's been legal action. There was a lawsuit brought against the government in this case. So there's just this case really has everything you could want in UFOs with the exception of aliens. At least the witnesses, there wasn't an abduction and they didn't see aliens. But everything else is happening in this case, government cover-up and you name it.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. Can you give us a brief summary of the actual sighting?
Yes, we have to introduce the characters first. We've got Betty Cash, who owned a restaurant. She was the driver of the car. Her friend and employee, Vicki Landrum, and Vicki Landrum's grandson, Colby, who she had custody of and lived with her, they were on an outing, were going to play bingo. It was, this is December 29th, 1980, and it was, this was during the Christmas holidays, so they couldn't find a game, decided to have dinner, and then on their way home about 9 o'clock, started seeing a light move through the trees. So that caught their attention, and as they were driving from New Caney back home to Dayton, they were approaching the Huffman area. And this was a relatively deserted area, sparsely populated, a few houses and trailers and things, but, you know, basically just a wooded area. So they rounded this curve and entered the straight part of the highway, and they described it as if the sky had split open. There was this object which they actually couldn't see that clearly. It was the flames coming down from the object and the brilliance of it. They said it looked like the sky had split open, and that it was such a impressive event visually that the ladies thought, Vicki Landrum in particular, thought this was a second coming. It was the end of the world. So this made a huge impression. So they're frightened. This car comes to a stop. And eventually, this is supposedly 130 feet away from them. They get out of the car to take a look, and this is blindingly brilliant. The flames, and so Betty Cash is standing on the driver's side, Vicki Landrum's grandson is terrified. He's crying. She steps out to look at it, but he coaxes her back in, and he's pretty much terrified. So her main interest at that point is protecting him, consoling him, and she even tells him that if a man comes out, it'll be Jesus to take them. You know, this is just so powerful to them. So they're back inside calling for Betty to come back in, and we're not sure of exactly how long she's out, but it's possibly 5 minutes, somewhere in that range. So she gets back in the car, and when she touches the handle of the car, it's become hot from the presence of this object somehow. And she has to take the bottom of her leather coat to open the handle of the door. So they're sitting in there, and it's incredibly hot. The object has been spewing flames down. It's been rising and falling.
Let's clarify here, the flames. Is this coming from the underside or just surrounding it?
It's coming from the underside, and they described it as making sounds like a flamethrower somewhat. It's unclear exactly what they heard, but there's been a roaring sound described, and also the craft made a beeping sound. But of those flames, it was a cone of fire similar to the exhaust of a space shuttle. However, it did not seem to propel the object. So that's mysterious. It doesn't. The other thing about it was, at this point, it moved off. It lifted up and moved off, but they described it as drifting off. And you know, my description's lengthy, and we're only about a fourth of the way through the encounter. So I don't know if you want to stop here for some questions or.
Well, I have some. This is Chris O'Brien here.
We'll have to do a break in a moment, Chris, to just ask the question.
Okay.
And Kurt will answer
in
the other end.
Kurt, this is Chris O'Brien here. I was going to have you, when we come back from the break, go ahead and give a description of size of the craft, the shape, any sort of discernible, metal or any sort of details that they could see on it when we get back from the break.
We have Kurt Collins joining us. We have Chris Lambright. The topic of discussion is the Cash Landrum case back in 1980. And as you see, it's just getting started. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise@GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we're talking about the 1980 Cash Landrum UFO sighting. Kurt Collins and Chris Lambright joining us. So Chris is asking a question or two to flesh out the description. Kurt?
This is a rich topic in itself, and we're going to talk with Chris Lambright at this a little bit more in a moment. What was initially reported in the newspapers, it was a large object, and it, in some instances, the women had difficulty describing what they saw. They didn't have a technical background. Vicki Landrum said that in the middle part of it was a half a mile across, which is obviously too large, but I think she was trying to describe the brightness of it. And so there was some difficulty separating the illumination from the object. But it's said to have been about 80 feet tall and, we're not sure, 20 to 40 feet wide and about 80 feet up in the air. It was about treetop level, and it would come down 20 feet or so, and it was kind of bobbing up and down. And it was so bright. Betty Cash originally said she was unable to determine a shape to it. And only Colby Landrum, the boy who stayed in the car for the majority of the sighting, he was looking through the windshield of the car, and, possibly the refraction gave him a better view, but he was the one that said it was specifically diamond-shaped. That's the description, and we'll come back to that later, but do you want me to continue with that, with their journey?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, from this point, it leaves, and Betty starts the car again. They drive down the road, and, they're relieved. It's over. And at this point, this is another confusing element. Colby, he was 7 years old at the time, said that he saw helicopters at this time. And at the next stop, they saw the object again, and they saw some lights in the sky. And initially, they couldn't tell they were still so far off, whether these were planes or helicopters. They stopped, and things moved closer to them, particularly one of the helicopters they were able to see, and it had two rotors on top, which were later identified as a Chinook CH-47 helicopter. Came so close that the roar of it terrified them, and apparently they could see some details, but they were able to sketch that later. And when that moved off, they've stopped, I think, total three times. And at the place they initially reported was on the stop sign outside of Huffman on the close to the highway back to Dayton. And at that point, they counted 23 helicopters. And as they left, headed east to Dayton, they were able to see behind them the object and the helicopters for some time, and said that there were additional helicopters coming. So then on the drive home, they began to have symptoms, headaches, and we better stop there because that gets into another category of the medical injuries.
This is the aftermath.
Right.
Okay, so let's wrap up the description of the case, the sighting, and then we'll go there.
After that, it was pretty much just a drive home, and they said they could see it for some portion of the drive home. So, I missed something about the flight characteristic. When the suggestion is that when they saw the light initially, this object was flying parallel to the ground, and it was only when it came down over the road that it was upright, like a spindle. And when it's been described as a diamond shape, this is like a diamond on a playing card, not like a diamond ring. So it was supposedly rounded, a rounded diamond. And then when it resumed flight, it seemed to, from the distance, it looked like a ball of light, and it had pitched over and probably regained that horizontal flight.
Chris Lambright, anything you want to add to the description of the basic sight before we go on?
I think Kurt's got it right. The only thing that I would agree with that's confused a little bit, or that's confusing, is the exact dimensions. She described at one point it as about the size of the Dayton Water Tower. Nobody ever took a picture of the Dayton Water Tower that I know of. She did mention that, I think, in her interview at Bergstrom Air Force Base, but later on, there's some indication that they're talking about the top of the tower. Using a little bit of deductive reasoning, when I drove down there and after speaking with, especially with Vicki Landrum at good length, the object came in over the treetops, but somehow was able to at least lower itself enough between the trees to avoid burning the trees up and kind of stay over the roadway, so to speak.
So there was basically purpose in the way it was flying. If you get my connection here, it was showing a purpose and a caution in flying that way.
This is Kurt. I'm not prepared to go that far. And I want to say at this point, the witnesses never wanted to call this a UFO. And when they saw that the helicopters, that made them think that this was a military project. One interesting thing about so many UFO witnesses, even if it turns out later that they've seen the lights of a plane, so often attribute characteristics and behaviors to the UFO as if it's interacting with them. And these witnesses never seem to do that. And if anything, they put that kind of behavior and connection on the flight of the helicopters. So that's, to me, it somehow is a detail that makes it seem all the more genuine. That they didn't want to say what this was. They didn't know.
It was just an unknown. They reached no conclusions as to intent, motive, or even the origin. And it could have been, as you say, a test aircraft, and maybe that's something we should deal with as we progress.
Oh, that's a very important element of the case. I'm going to let's get back to what Chris was describing in his visit, because I think this is very important. As the case, let me tell you a little bit about the way the case developed. I guess we need to continue chronologically with the injuries, and we're going to have to revisit elements of this, because there's several important and controversial parts of this story. So the ladies go home. Betty Cash drops them off. Usually she would have visited, but instead they're feeling sick. So Vicki and Colby go in, and as night progresses, Colby throws up and has a bout of diarrhea, and it's reported that their skin was red as if they'd been out on the beach, you know, bright red sunburn. So that they're not feeling well. And then when Betty returns home, she had a friend and her kids had stayed over. She meets them and talks about how bad she's feeling, and goes to bed, and she has these knot-like boils appear on her skin, and she has this horrible headache and these other flu-like symptoms, and this becomes so bad over the next few days she has to be hospitalized. And she said that when she was admitted to the hospital, they asked her if she was a burn patient. And she had no idea that radiation could cause burns. And so she told him no. And the other part of this stage, on the drive home, the thing was so strange. For whatever reason, they thought people wouldn't believe them. So they agreed not to tell anyone. So the cause was a mystery. She didn't tell her doctor for some time. And it was she improved somewhat over the next couple of weeks. They did tests on her. She goes home for a few days and has to come back. And at this point, the doctors are perplexed. The Colby Lanham is there when Vicki Lanham is visiting, and the doctor is, you know, expressing his frustration. And he says, "Well, I know what caused it. It was the UFO." And so that opens up a whole new discussion.
And we'll have another new discussion coming right up because we got to take this break. We have Chris Lambright and Kurt Collins with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Stop wasting countless hours scouring the web for survival gear when you can visit GearUpCenter.com. We specialize in the latest, most innovative products you can't find anywhere else. Products like the Crovel Multi-Tool, aquaponics systems, and our fully loaded bug-out survival trailer.
Tim Rawson here. I created GearUpCenter to bring you the latest quality-tested survival gear at the best price. Be sure to catch me again next season on National Geographic's Doomsday Prepper, where I'll be demonstrating my new Excalibur shotgun adapter system.
Get the gear your life can depend on at GearUpCenter.com.
And remember, prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So with Kurt Collins and Chris Lambright, we're fleshing out the details of the 1980 Cash-Landrum UFO encounter, where we have a witness who may have received radiation burns, was it, Kurt?
The symptoms... When Betty Cash reentered the hospital, she had hair loss. So she had what appeared to be burns, loss of hair, vomiting, diarrhea. These closely resembled radiation exposure symptoms. They were at a loss. There were some tests, some of which were, the blood test was normal. This is an extremely controversial area of the case because the medical records have not been released because, there's several reasons. One reason cited was when they did make their legal case, they wanted to protect this as evidence in the legal trial. The other was cited was the privacy of the witnesses. And, I'm trying to run it too far ahead here, but, so she's treated, she eventually gets out, and they're at a loss to what to do. She's mounted these enormous medical bills, and they're trying to get help and get answers as to what they've seen, what caused it, and, you know, who might be responsible. There are several calls made. Vicki Landrum calls Robert Gribble of the National UFO Reporting Center. She had talked to her, the sheriff of Dayton, and he found the number, and probably out of desperation more than anything else, she calls the number, reports it, and he in turn turns it into APRO, and that's the first contact with the UFO community.
Now APRO is the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. It was an Arizona-based UFO group headed by Jim and Paul Lorenzen. I just want to give that background as we continue, Kurt.
From there, the case takes one of its many strange turns. The information is intercepted by Bill English, who is a UFO investigator of some controversy himself. In those days, the UFO organizations had a relationship with tabloid press. There was a panel of experts on the National Enquirer. They reviewed cases. There was a bonus for best case of the year and this sort of thing. And also, the Enquirer would pay, the tabloid papers would pay tips for UFO cases. Well, he, for whatever reason, saw this as an opportunity and turned this into the Weekly World News, and they were the first ones to get a hold of the story. And it's unclear as to whether or not they sent a reporter or if this was secondhand, but there were photographs taken of the witnesses, and the hair loss of Betty Cash is clearly visible in the photos.
You know, I can just think as you talk, Kurt, that a publication like that would say, burned by a hostile UFO or something.
almost exactly what they said. Three burned by UFO, although the cover photo showed three celebrities from WKRP in Cincinnati, so you might think that they were the ones injured. So, strangely enough, although there was some sensational language, it seems to have been a fairly accurate coverage of the events. The story is still online if you look in Google Books. All the major elements are there. You know, further details were revealed later, but the basics are all there. So, you know, for a tabloid, you know, really good coverage on the story.
Problem being, it's in a tabloid, nobody takes it seriously.
Exactly. And that's one of the puzzling things, too, is that since there was a relationship between the UFO groups and the tabloids, you know, were they compromising their credibility? But I guess that's an aside. That's not our crucial issue here.
We could do a whole show on that one. Don't forget, at the time, Bob Pratt was, I think, kind of leading the Inquirer's field investigations of the paranormal and UFO events. And up to that point, he had done some very, very good work around Dulce with the Gomez cattle mutilation cases and others. So even though the tabloids aren't well considered, at that time in the 70s into the early 80s, they actually did do some very serious reporting on these subjects.
Chris, while you're talking, I want you to step in here because part of the appeal and the mystery of this is the presence of the helicopters. And I know in your book, Secrets of Mysterious Valley, you discuss this at some length. So can you give us some background in the 70s about the helicopters that were appearing?
Well, yeah, you mentioned Tom Adams. Tom was one of my early sort of mentors when I got involved in investigating cases in the San Luis Valley. And Tom had compiled, by 1993, he had put together over 200 really well-documented case reports of helicopters seen in and around cattle mutilation sites. So it was titled The Choppers and the Choppers. Like Ray Stanford, he had a strange sense when it came to book titles. But leaving that aside, I think what really has always puzzled me about this particular case is the claim of over two squadrons worth or 23 Chinook helicopters. Now, I think I'm not sure who it was. It may have been Tom Adams did some research into that. And he could find no evidence that indicated that any squadrons of Chinooks had joined together at that particular on that night for any sort of maneuvers. And there's been quite a bit of controversy over the years of A, whether the number that cited by the witnesses was accurate, and B, whether there was some sort of secret maneuvers going on that the military did not fess up on. Either of you guys have any comments about that particular aspect of the case?
I can tell you one thing that has puzzled me for years, and actually when I was reviewing the information for this case, I found a reply that I got from the Army. I looked into, because the only place anywhere nearby that close enough to get there in time was Fort Hood. Fort Hood, apparently the Army was the only one that was known to have to use the double rotor Chinooks. But of course, there seemed to be a lack of any information about flights that, you know, that time of year, Philip Klass made the big argument that you couldn't get them out. But I wrote to Fort Hood, and in the reply that I got was the statement that they had a flight of helicopters that evening that came in, and this is in quotes, for effect. No explanation what that means, although to me that means there were some helicopters flying that night that came in for whatever this term for effect was. The reply that I found after I wrote them again, and I had asked, you know, the next person on the FOIA receiving end, what exactly for effect means, and she simply wrote back and said, we don't have any explanation for what the term for effect means, and I could never get any more out of it.
So basically, Chris, they use words that they don't understand in terms of meaning.
Yeah,
they just invent the words. They just pull them out of whole cloth.
Yeah, but what I got out of it was, wait a minute, they just acknowledged that they had helicopters that were flying around that night, and they acknowledged that the helicopters that were flying, because when I wrote, I specifically would have written about Chinooks
flying around that evening, and Fort Hood being the only place that had, I think there were 24 in their flight or squadron, whatever they called it. And for them to write me back and say they had a flight that came in that evening for effect, a very obscure, innocuous term, and I could never get any
how
more.
How far away is Fort Hood from the land, Cash Landham site?
As the crow flies, I think we estimated you might be able to get there 45 minutes or an hour. My belief is always that for it to arrive at the time the ladies were there, they had to be flying already. They had to be somewhere in transit or something else, somewhere else to have arrived right at the moment when this thing came down where it did. And apparently those weren't the only helicopters, because even I was watching a little bit of a videotape interview I did with Vicky, and she mentions as well that there were other single rotor helicopters. They weren't small ones, whether they were the Huey variety or something larger like the Navy might fly. But at one point when they were closer to home, apparently, there were still some other helicopters coming in from the east. And in the video, she was a little reluctant to make to mention some of the information that they were onto. But she kept making this comment about a place called Morgan City, which I think is Morgan City, Louisiana. I've never been able to know what it was. And you can see on the tape, she kind of smiles and mentions Morgan City and won't say any more. So they apparently had some suspicions that there were other places that there may have been helicopters. But she was adamant that besides the Chinooks that were already around the object right after they had kind of moved on down the road, there were still some others that had been coming in from the Dayton side, more to the east side.
Well, Kurt mentioned something that the doctor asked when they wouldn't fess up of how they got the burns and what appeared to be radiation poisoning type symptoms. He mentioned, oh, this must have been the UFO. Now, you never really went into more detail about why he said that. As a kind of a second question here, I'm wondering how many additional witnesses do we have that were not involved in with the three primary witnesses?
And we'll have that answer in our next segment. We have Chris Lambright and Kurt Collins. Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.